Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Actually, good morning. It's 11:30. It's not quite noon yet. I usually do the podcast on Sundays, but I had time on my hands. So today is Saturday, January 27, I believe. But I am actually not feeling too good today, to be quite honest with you. Some days you're not going to feel good, and this is why it's so important to continue your personal work on yourself so you can just spend your days how you want to, in happiness, in peace, in love. Speaking of love, one day I'm going to share the spoken word. It's actually in my book called Surviving Oakland, because it's a spoken words memoir that I wrote during the pandemic, as you may know. But there's a spoken word that I've written about love and how it's not realistic to fall in love. It's actually a reverse, just flipped a coin, and I put rising in love. That's what love is, and it starts with yourself first. I think that falling in love, case in point, the man-made holiday, Valentine's Day, is coming up, and it's a romanticized type of love. You know, it's kind of like unrealistic looking on the outside of yourself for someone to love you, for someone to keep you uplifted, but it's kind of really unrealistic. Anyway, it's a come from Roman theology or Greek philosophy, and it's just not realistic, especially someone or people who are really invested in themselves and getting themselves together from traumatic experiences and things like that. Not things like that. I said I'm going to change that. So getting over the traumatic experiences that continues to haunt them if they don't, or if we don't continue to do the work that's going to make us better in our relationships, in establishing relationships, business relationships, cultural relationships, because there's a such thing of that. But I have always shied away from those things because of those traumatic experiences that I've been through. And I speak a lot about these experiences in my book. You can get that off Amazon or send me an email and I will get that to you. So I'm not really feeling ideal today the way that I like to. Maybe it's because I'm off work. When I'm working, it kind of gets my mind off of everything because I'm able to be in a very different environment than my primary environment right now. It's a relaxing type of vibe that I love. And plus, I work for a nurse who looks like me and who father, I help her take care of her father. And he's a really nice man. So I like the fact if I'm gonna work for someone, I'd rather for her to look like me. She kind of reminds me of my family, my sister. Her father even told me, or she even told me, that I look like one of her cousins, and she in fact looks like my oldest sister. So it's something that I can appreciate. Not totally proud of, because I don't like working for anyone, but in that time I have a lot of downtime in the work that I do, so I'm able to create, I'm able to write, I'm able to, you know, structure my business the way that I need to. And so I appreciate it. So I just need to get back to work to get my mind off something. Sometimes you do need new sceneries to take your mind off things and to just feel some type of, it's a certain energy that I love to be in my presence, you know, and I'm not speaking about people per se, you know, individual, but speaking of a certain atmosphere, a certain spirit. So it can be an unseen type thing. You know, I just love peace. I value my peace. I don't have to worry about subscribing to other people's narratives, you know, because the majority can, you know, side with the same narrative, even though, you know, they know, the other person know that this is like false or whatever. Anyway, so that's how I'm feeling. But a part of my healing is to get on these podcasts and just let it rip. So since this is revolved around mental health and coming up with strategies or solutions to deal with our mental health, to be better, to get things done in our lives. But first, it's very important to know that you cannot get things done if you're not right, you know, and that's something that I really, really believe in. And I'm continuing to work on myself where I'm at now, but the challenges of doing that is it arises sometimes, and that's natural. You have to embrace those challenges and just keep going. You have to sit in whatever is uncomfortable for you to really process it and be like, you know what? It's about me. It's about my happiness. It's about my growth. It's about me not compromising my integrity or my passion, what I am passionate about, which is, you know, my ventures that I set out to do with my blog, with my podcast, with this new adventure that I have, which I will be speaking about in a minute. My goals, my personal growth, my collective growth. When I say collective, just being around like-minded people who are going in the same direction as me. Not my growth is a part of not entertaining shenanigans, not being a you know, gossiper, or, you know, I mean, we all do it, we gossip, but to what extent, I think it's important, especially women. We tend to do that a lot, but it's important to remember that, you know, you have to be able to speak in someone's face what you said to the other person. I do believe that. Even if it hurts, but a part of growing is not comfortable. Think about the seed and the soil. I mean, it takes time to sprout and come up, you know, and just imagine what goes beneath that soil. That's unseen. It's the same with us. You know, we can't see our growth until we actually go through the pain, go through the things that's needed in order to grow. We're not gonna see no rosebuds or whatever we want to see from the seed. We're not going to see that. It takes time. I was just listening to Dame Dash, who's my new business guru, right? I mean, one of them. He's so dope. But he spoke about that. You know, we don't like to embrace the pain. We're not willing to be uncomfortable, you know. And a part of growing, as I said, is to just keep going. Keep going and I think that visualizing what you want to see in your life, create it in your mind, and start doing the work towards that. Once you see a vision, you just have to take off towards it. You have to go get it like it's already there. The success is already there, but Not but, the success is already there and we have to just go get it. And that's going to come with some stuff that we don't like, that we don't want to deal with, you know. And speaking of like not dealing with stuff, with me, I am, see, I watch myself from the inside out. I am such an introverted person because I don't trust a whole lot of people. And even people that are close to me, I love them and I trust them to be who they are. That's what I mean. You know, I don't, it's like you're not on the level. You know, I'm not going to say my level, but it's a certain level that I think that humans need to be at. They got to keep going. And that's my thing. I have to keep elevating. If I'm not elevating, I know that, okay, I let this get to me, or I let someone's narrative or connotation, I let that influence me to a point to where I'm not elevating. I believe them. I believe what they see about me. Perception is everything, but also creating your story, writing your own story is just as important, because what they do, what people do who see you in a certain light, they create this type of narrative about you. And we have to be careful with that, because you can believe that what they believe about you. I mean, that's some powerful stuff right there, you know. So it's important to create your own narrative by, you know, continuing to elevate, because I plan on getting better, like, every day. I plan on getting better, doing better, feeling better, being better. Living in my peace. You know, I plan on marrying again, and it takes time. I jumped into relationships, I believe, in these marriages that was very hard to get out of due to my traumatic experiences, you know, due to not having a father in my life who should have who I should have been looking up to, of, you know, what a man is. And I didn't have that in my life. And I think by me jumping into relationships, that I was looking for someone to protect me, love me unconditionally. And then that is a unrealistic thing in itself, because, I mean, can't nobody make you happy but you at the end of the day, you know. But, you know, you also want someone to share that with. You want someone to grow with, someone who share your same moral and principles and values. So that's very, very important. So I'm patient. You know, you have to be on the level if you want to be with me. But I'm not going out searching, you know. But I think I'm at the stage in my life, I am ready to marry again. However, the person needs to understand that this is a continuing healing energy that I'm in right now. And that has to be respected. That's first. That's first. Love, not first to me. I mean, I'm not, you know, being all in love, it's a distraction. It's a distraction from what's real. I mean, you can love somebody. I want to be loved and I want to return the love, but not to the point to where I lose myself. You know, the thing about marriage is coming together as one, understanding growth and human development, and not being so caught up in a person to where, you know, you think that you're owned, or you own that person like you're some property. No, that's whack. You know, that's a deteriorated type of disposition to have about marriage. Anyway, I didn't even want to bring that up, but it just came out. Whatever. So, part of my disclaimer is that I'm no mental health expert, I'm not no therapist. I'm just on here to share information, to acknowledge that a lot of us need healing. And I don't claim to be a healer by profession. I am a healer by nature. I am a nurturer because I am a mother and a grandmother. So I am a nurturer, but not a healer per se, like, you know, like from a prominent institution or whatever. I'm a healer by nature. So if you are going through any mental health crisis, if you're going through trauma, please contact your local phone numbers that they have for mental health hotlines and get you some advice on how to deal with your situation better. And if you are on medication because of your mental health, please take the medication, but also supplement those medications with something, with natural substances. So that's a part of my disclaimer. I am no professional. So what I decided to do today, and what I'm going to start to do, because it's very important, to share some excerpts from Surviving Oakland, A Reflective Journey into Finding My Truth. Because as I said, this is a book where I speak about some of the traumatic events or happenings from the past and how I dealt with it, how I overcame it. And one thing that I worked on, and one thing that I did to overcome my trauma is writing. Writing is my thing. That's what I do. And writing, I find, helps me to heal, because I can get my thoughts out. I can reflect on them thoughts, and then I can add more to, you know, my content or whatever. But I share a lot on theverseplace.wordpress.com. You can go there and read some of my work. So this is a excerpt from Surviving Oakland, as I said, and it's about, I'm reading from chapter 3. It's in the beginning, searching for an identity. I'm going to read to where I stop on, it's like a page and a half. This is on page 13 and 14 of Surviving Oakland. And this is about the very thing that I spoke about in the beginning of this podcast, which was the idea of, you know, people controlling or making up their own narratives about you, who you are, and how they think you should be, actually. So reading from page 13, chapter 3, in the beginning, searching for an identity. And this is, because in the beginning of the book, this is, I have to say this. I start out with a letter to myself. My name is Amina, but everybody call me Mina. But Mina is this, you know, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, at least 70%. But Mina is a person that everybody, you know, like who I know, who looked at this person, Mina, as this vulnerable person who had a disability, who's over emotional, who wear their feelings on their sleeves, et cetera, et cetera. And I speak a little bit about it, but I didn't go in detail. Maybe I'll do a part 2 of Surviving Oakland. Anyway, so it goes, Mina made Amina feel, no, I'm going too fast. Mina made Amina afraid to be strong. Mina told her she was viewed as naive, slow, easily taken advantage of, and as someone who had no opinions or ability to stand up for herself. Loyalty can make you feel like the dumbest person in the world when you realize that the premise of it was based on control and envy, rooted in an emptiness of unaddressed traumas that possibly have been lived with for long periods of time. Amina looked at the lives of people who had succeeded in hiding their pain and confusion by placing their challenges and personal baggage onto the next individual. The challenges of not being self-aware and the resulting behaviors became a trait of their personality. It revealed itself in strange ways throughout their lives and became detrimental to their human spirit. An abnormality in their connection to others. Amina needed to understand mental illness. Why were some of her loved ones subjected to a constant violation of their innocence? Violating someone's innocence had a domino effect of unacknowledged mental challenges. They appeared normal on the surface, but due to pathologies, dysfunctional but accepted patterns of behavior were conditioning well before adolescence for being exploited. When innocence is taken away, false ideas begin to sprout. Amina could not grasp the concept that some of her female siblings even desired to inappropriately experiment with her at such an early age. Misconstrued and incorrect ideas have a tendency to create unhealthy appetites. Our underdevelopment distorted our perception of how to seek the healthy love that brings happiness. Why was this allowed to go on? And more importantly, why did she agree to participate in the act every single time she would be asked? This was crazy. This definitely was not an ideal life for a little girl who had hopes and dreams for a promising future. She wishes that she had said something to an adult. Instead, she played a game of show but didn't tell. I always made myself available to them. You know what? I'm going to read that over. I always made myself available to them, doing dumb shit. Had I known better, I would have been a good example to my cousins who inflicted their pain on me and their unhealthy curiosities of how to be responsible young women by redirecting their attention, but I remained at a low level in my underdevelopment, or I remained at a low level in my development, aka Mina. I would have exemplified proper conduct to those who introduced me to this psychotic bullshit if I would have spoken up. Now, I'm going to pause there. So this, if you listen to this excerpt, you will know that I was a little naive, you know, at an early age. I didn't know a lot of things, but somewhere in this book I'm speaking about asking God in my own poetic way to in the letter, in the beginning of the book, to the letter to Amina, from Mina, I am asking Amina to forgive Mina for not knowing or for not protecting her real self, and asking God to, there's a prayer, I think it's the Lord's Prayer, oh God, please forgive me for the things that I could change, but forgive me for the things that I could have changed but didn't know how, something to that effect. But this speaks, what I just read speaks to that energy, I should say. So I mentioned how, you know, when you speak about people, when you're gossiping, right, with that person that's being spoken about is not there, it's important for us to be able to say that in front of their face, to say what you feel. But if you was paying attention to this content, I didn't grow up in an environment to where it was okay to express, or at least I didn't know how to. I was, I was very, very young when certain things occurred. So this expression was not a a thing that we did. We were taught to suppress our feelings, you know, like, you know, sharing the things with, you know, with the audience in this book about my sibling cousins. You know, some of them was hurt. They've been through a lot and they didn't know that, you know, energy transfers, pain transfers to the other person, and you can inflict your pain, you know, or your energy on other people, you know. And I took on that baggage and I carried it for so long. This is why me as a writer, I value it so much, because I can express myself really good on paper. You know, and I don't like to talk about people, you know, or speak about others without speaking to them about what I think about this topic, that topic, you know. In order for me to have a valuable conversation with someone, it's better for me if they were on the same frequency as I am, because it could be more civil. The conversation can be more civilized. I don't like conflict. I don't deal with conflict well at all. So I think that's the case in point. You know, the everybody needs to be on the same page when I'm having a conversation. And I think that it is not so much of a healthy thing, because conflict is necessary. But I'm such a, you know, due to my condition, I have equilibrium problems. So I have a neural problem, I should say, and that gets in the way of my conflict, because it's kind of scary. No, it's not kind of, it is scary, because I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to say, but if I feel like I'm being attacked, I'm going to hurt you. And it's dangerous. I just posted someone where, you know, a celebrity was saying, don't fuck with a peaceful person. And that's real, because peaceful people don't mess with nobody. You know, we just want to just be enjoying our peace, you know, enjoying our happiness. We don't like people coming into our space trying to violate us, trying to control the our space. That's what I don't like. So, yeah, that's real. So I'm gonna continue to read on the next half of the next page, which is 14 and 15. So continuing. Her loyalty to her sibling cousins would go on to create negative consequences for Amina later in life. The features of this dark cloud looked on from a distance to point its finger and punish her, as if she willfully pre-planned to spend her days in a degrading reality. Mina's mentality to metamorphosize into the queen she was created to be once she knew differently. She had discovered her jewels. The characteristics of people who were taught to be dominant over others contributes to deep-rooted scars. These people refuse to elevate past third base. So more often than not, energy is stolen from the person they are targeting. These features are disturbing in their own souls. Manipulators choose to surround themselves with people who are completely unaware of their agenda. For the victims of these bloodsuckers, it can take a short period of time to find out that their energy has been sucked out of them like a vacuum cleaner. However, this also can take a long period of time to figure out, as it did with Amina. Energy moves forward to fulfillment, towards purpose intended for meaning, in an individual's personal evolution. When she looked into the mirror, Amina's image was blurred due to how she perceived herself. However, she had the advantage of an introvert's mind that, as it engaged, opened up portals to answer important questions critical to those with self-curiosity
and an orientation to growth. In Amina's personal evolution, she made it her business to clean up misconceptions and the degrading image she had imposed on others. She continues to evolve to a person who no longer focuses on the negative opinions about her. So this next, I just want to explain this next reading that I'm going to read. So, you know, people talk shit. They talk their shit. Sometimes they can back it up. Sometimes they can't. But I'm not a shit talker. I'm not flattered by that. I'm a doer. I'm a person of action. So the kind of person that I am, I just sit back and watch. I get my popcorn, watch the movie, you know, because some people are living in like the, you know, they're too surface people for me, too material, you know, too caught up in what's going on, you know, in the world. Whereas, you know, as opposed to just doing it, you know, and not doing all that talking. I'm not a yapper. I don't flap my gums a lot. So when I say some people talk their shit, you know, I think there's a certain falsity, if that's the word, something false about that, because you don't have to. I think that people who does that, talk hella shit, you know, it's something that they're trying to prove to someone else. Whereas me, I want to prove something to myself. I'm challenging. I like to figure shit out. And to me, that's somebody who's official to me, you know, because you're trying to, you know, figure something out that's not quite easy to do. You know, you figure it out, and if you can't figure it out, you go on to the next task that you are working on, and, you know, you do that task, and then the answer just comes to you. You have to find out when to get the information on high. This comes with meditating, with, you know, listening to silence at certain times of the day. That's information that's coming from on high. It's an energy. It's your, because you're connecting to the cosmos, you know. So I just think that, you know, and this is my, you know, speaking about my personal dealings with the way that I deal with the Most High, the way that my relationship is with the Most High. It's just something that will come natural if you keep that intact. If you keep your relationship where it should be with the Most High, then things will fall in place for you. It took me years to understand that. But when people talk, you know, it's a talk your talk, talk your shit. No, do the shit. Like, do what you need to do to go get that. You know, do the thing the things that you need to do to get this accomplished, so you can go to that next challenging thing. You know, it's about evolving, and it's a beautiful thing. I love it. I love figuring stuff out. I'm finding out about myself. I find that I'm growing with that. If I'm not trying to figure out, you know, my next task, if I'm not journeying through that, then I'm not going anywhere. So let me read that. That's all I wanted to say about that. You know, I'm a showstopper just stepping into the room. Like, you go be amazed, because that's how dope I am. That's how amazing I am, I should say. Excuse the slang. That's how amazing I am. I'm magnetic. I'm a magnet to greatness. So, reading on. I am very familiar with someone throwing shade. I grew up in an environment of shade throwers. Now that I have figured myself out, I hold the belief that it's best to remain humble. I never stunted on anyone because I became invested in trying to figure out who I was in an environment of violators. So I was never arrogant or envious towards anyone. I was born a showstopper, so my swag spoke for itself. I never had to force my outer physique. And I'm going to stop there with the reading. That's real. Like, if you putting a lot on yourself just to prove to someone that you're great, then it's something going on with you that you need to work on. Why are you putting all that energy in trying to impress someone else? I want to impress myself all the time. When I look in the mirror, I want to be proud of what I did or what I accomplished, or proud of what I am becoming. Proud of myself on how I am embracing my challenges, my personal challenges. I think it's so beautiful. And then that's what Born Intelligent, Rising and Healed is all about. So you have to, this is a part of me working on my healing. I'm birthing my ideas. I'm bringing them to life. And the more that I do that, the more intelligent that I become, the more that I rise, just like the sun in its glory, in its splendor. Because when I rise, I have a chance to help others, hopefully, because that's my goal. I have a chance to plant ideas. I have a chance to even food, literally, when I get in that position, I have a chance to grow my food. And the two is just a part of the acronym T-O and HEAL, H-E-A-L. This is all a part of the journey of healing. And then you can deal with those challenges in a more healthy, organic way. You can just put the toxicity that you're around in the back. You'd be like, later for that. Like, sit down. It's like taming the animal in you, per se. Sitting down the flesh for a second. Like, oh, I'm gonna get back to you up. We go eat. Just sit down for a second, you know, because the flesh is material. It's just about, you know, survival, you know, but you have to fight through that. You know, Ramadan coming up, speaking of that. So Ramadan is a chance to cleanse all the toxicities, to, you know, cleanse the burn all of those undesirable appetites that you have. It's a chance to just be a new person, you know. So technically, to me, every day is Ramadan, except in Ramadan we actually fast. There's a time that we eat, a time that we don't eat. And sometimes Ramadan can be, or the fasting hours can be 17 hours, or, you know, something like that, depending on the part of the world that you're in. Case in point, when I went to Egypt and fasted during Ramadan there, it was so easy because what they do, the Muslims do there, at least African Muslims, of course, stay up all night. No, they sleep through the whole day, get up when it's time to break fast, which is not a long time. It's called maghrib. You get up at maghrib, you break your fast, you eat with the people, you talk, you pray, you socialize, things like that, and then you go to sleep. You go to sleep, you get up, Fajr prayer. You do Fajr prayer, you go back to sleep, and then sometimes you stay asleep until it's time to break your fast. So it was really easy. It was really easy to fast in Egypt. Because another thing, everybody is doing it at the same time. So again, this goes back to people being on the same frequency as you are. it comes easy. It doesn't come so easy when you have all of these different energies around you who have different lifestyles, who, you know, eat at different times, who are disrespectful in their own little shady ass way, you know, things like that. Not things like that, but that. So, yeah, it's very, very important to understand. And it's simple, you know, it's very simple. Because you're on the same wavelength. You're on the same page. You're seeing eye to eye. You're seeing actually, you know, you're seeing with your third eye if you're doing it the right way, if you're fasting the right way, if you are, you know, receiving the information from the universe, from the cosmos, at certain hours of the day. You know, so that's what I mean by birth, you know. Birth is very important, or birthing, because it's an action word. So what I want to, I have maybe 20 minutes on here. I don't want my time to elapse, but I wanted to let the people know that I have a new store. Yay! It's called Merch and Manifestations. I'm going to be doing the official launch when I figure some more things out logistically. But I have like hoodies, t-shirts. I have a women's windbreaker that's so raw. It's so dope. I have bags, top bags, coffee mugs, travel cups. So you can go to theverseplace.com. No, theverseplace.wordpress.com, and you can go to the link that's under the title Merchant Manifestations presented by Born Intelligent, Rise and Heal, because I haven't officially figured out how people, I'm trying to get it in an algorithm to where it can just be, you know, you can just Google it. But as I said, there are some things I need to figure out about that part, but it's something that I'm very proud of. And what this line is intended to stand for is humanity. There's this thing out, you know, they even have AI, artificial intelligent robots in New York. I was watching some footage on YouTube, and this exists. This is what the world is, the higher ups, the manipulators, language manipulators, excuse me, power manipulators, the ones who have the power to influence, to change, to who has the money, big bucks, right, to change the world through weather manipulation. All of that. And so this Merchant Manifestations, I wanted to create this line to say no, like no, we're human. We were born human. We evolve as humans, and we're gonna die as humans, hopefully. I mean, this is something really serious. So I just wanted to create something like that. You know, I'm anti-AI to a certain extent. So my AI is activated intellect. That's my AI. It's not artificial intelligence. There's nothing artificial about humanity. The Most High created us perfect. He created us with a purpose, and it's not to depend on artificial intelligence. However, I do believe that artificial intelligence, there's a benefit to that when it comes to, you know, the computers in a way. You know, in a way that can help, you know, children with their homework to figure out, to find out how to figure out things on your own. You know, you can use AI for that, I believe, but not to AI to think for you, because we can Google anything and get information on, you know, what we're trying to figure out. But we have a mind. The mind is a computer. You know, the brain, rather. The brain is a computer that can do great things if we apply our brains. If we take time to think things through, we can actually be great. We can activate our intelligence or activate our intellect, because intelligence is something that comes from the genes. Intellect is something that comes from an inner as well, but you're electing to choose this or that for yourself. So we want to elect, we want to choose human. We want to choose humanity over choosing artificial intelligence. So AI is activating intellect. And there, you know, there's my color theme with my logo that I included into the clothes and things like that. So continue to look out for that. It's something that I'm very proud of. And I can't wait to get these things, you know, so I can wear them, show how they look, things like that. Just put it together, you know, as a cultural phenomenon, you know, because, you know, we are intelligent. We were made to be great, and we were made to do so many great things. The problem is, I think we just depend on these institutions to tell us how great we are and what to do. I don't believe that you need to go to school for 4 years or 8 years to, you know, figure out things. I just don't believe that. I just love the knowledge. I love information. I love the knowledge. But, you know, there are many, many millionaires and billionaires who did not go to school in order to be billionaires or millionaires. You know, I love information. I love knowledge. I love seeking knowledge and sharing knowledge. So that's it. Look out for that. Continue to support my blog, diverseplace.com. No, I'm saying that wrong. Diverseplace.wordpress.com. Continue to read the articles on there. Continue to support my YouTube channel, which you can find a link inside of the blog. My IG is at Mena Sbirth. That's MeenaSbirth. I'm going to start doing videos on there because I figured it out. Remember, I'm kind of like technically unsavvy, but I figured out how to do videos on IG and even on my Facebook. You can go to my Facebook, Facebook/ Amina Adcock, which is my last name, AmeenaAdcock. You can look for things on that. And also, if you would like to get Surviving Oakland, go on Amazon or Barnes and Nobles and order it. Or as I said, if you would like to get it in bulk, you can send me an email at EYE_C_US@yahoo.com. And I'm going to say it again, you get 12 books for $160 plus shipping and handling with these bulk orders. I think it's an interesting book. It did really well when it first came out. It did good on Amazon. And I appreciate the support. And I just want you all to continue to support. Look out for my children's book that I'm writing. I have a little bit of anxiety about it. But look out for that. Animal Form and Environmental Function. And it's based on scripture. And what I wanted to do is just speak about the importance of the animal kingdoms and how animals contribute to our ecosystem, to our environment. Like the bees. Bees are so important. Because of the pollination, they pollinize the plants, and you know the way that they do. And I didn't know that bees, there are no male bees. There are male bees, but they don't have children the way that we think. It's really, really interesting. So look out for that book. And also I implemented the Arabic alphabet into the book, so children can learn the letters of the Arabic alphabet, but it'll be easy for them to grasp, you know, God willing, because of the same sounds. English has, you know, copied the sounds, you know, of Arabic and Hebrew. But that's another conversation. So look out for that. I'm hoping to be done with it, I say, by the summer, because I have to work on some things with an illustrator. I have to get a book cover and all of that. I think what I'm going to start doing revolved around animal form and environmental function is just speaking about it, doing videos once a week about my new project on Facebook. So look out for that. So yeah, this is all that I wanted to speak about today. And all of this is centered around mental health. So I want you to continue to follow this blog. If you want to be a guest on my program, simply leave a comment, because I post it everywhere. You can go to theverseplace.wordpress.com and find my blogs on there. You can actually Google my blog and you will see the latest episode. The blog is Born Intelligent, Rising to Heal. Just type that in Google and you should be able to see it. What I want to do, still want to do, is invite guests on my program. So look out for that. So I'm going to cut it short right now. So you guys have a peaceful, productive day on purpose. Peace and love, peace and light, and peace and blessings.